Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. We're live for the next hour, and we're going to be talking to funny man John Cooperman, who's my special VIP guest co-host superstar, and he will be actually calling me from the road. He is heading to a new gig, and we're going to see if he wants to talk about that in just a second. Bring him on momentarily. I want to thank Monday's guest, Harry Colley, for coming on to talk about a whole history of his experience in the theater and TV. And, well, really starting from the late 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and getting into the 80s, we didn't even scratch the surface, so I can't wait to have Harry back on a future episode. And tomorrow night we have a new guest, so if you'd like to call in and ask questions of our psychic friends, Carol Ramsey out of Naples, Florida is going to be our VIP special guest star, so I hope you'll call in for that. Thursday we've got Tanya Elizabeth. She is in from Australia doing a book tour, and I'll get a chance to visit with her on Thursday night. And then Friday, an early Friday night dance party with Sasha's Block. We're going to have them live at 5 p.m. They are a big band jazz band, and I had the great fortune to go to their album release party a few weeks ago up in Hollywood, and that was oh so much fun. I just was really honored to be there, and I got to sit like front row. So I mean, I did like crane my neck up and look at all the singers sing and the band players play and the singers doing all the great things that they were doing. So really, really cool. But without further ado, we have our special guest co-host, Mr. John Cooperman, joining us back on Rated G Radio. John, how are you? How's your drive?
Hey, Garrett.
You're loud and clear.
Am I loud and clear? I'm actually, yes, I'm on my way for a new job that I began yesterday. I will tell everybody what it's about when I'm on with you next time. The reason is because I don't want to jinx it or anything, and hopefully they like me. It's producing a little show on the web, and it streams and everything, but it's quite a weird show, and maybe when I'm on with you next time I'll explain it more. But I need everyone to wish me positive vibes, wishing me luck, and hoping this works out well for me.
Well, of course it's going to turn out well, because you are very talented, and any group that's going to hire you is very lucky to have you. So I can't wait to hear all about it next time. So that'll be fun. So now next time we already have it set.
Yeah, we're already set for next time. So, but it's fine. It's a little web show. It's nothing big, but, you know, I'm learning about it now, and I don't know that much about it yet. So when I know more about the show, how it runs, what it's about, blah, 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 then I'll tell all the viewers and they could maybe watch and all that. And of course, with all the viewers, we'll be showing up at my shows anyway, so maybe I'll mention it there as well, of course.
Of course, you absolutely
of
should.
Course.
Hey, now I know that earlier you sent me a note and it said that you were exhausted, and I didn't know, is that because you spent the entire weekend at Coachella?
You know, I wish I went to Coachella. Have you ever been to Coachella?
No, and even if I were of the age demographic that was supposed to really enjoy that, I am not sure that I would enjoy that, because it just seems very dirty. It's like Burning Man light.
Right, that, and I think they're trying to make it like a modern day, and once again, I have to remind everybody, I have a bit of a stutter sometimes, so hang in there with me if it's hard for me to say a word. Woodstock, there we go. That's what I
there we go.
To say. Woodstock, thank you. I think they're just wanting to make it like Woodstock. And
Could they make it like Woodstock, except not in Indio, California?
I know, out of all places, right?
I mean, maybe like, how about Woodstock in like Huntington Beach, or Woodstock in Santa Monica, or Woodstock in, you know, someplace where it's not gross.
and have it on the beach with the waves rolling up, everybody watching in the sand and with their feet in the water and everybody just having a great time.
Right. Doesn't that sound like so much more fun than being all dirty and gross in the desert?
Yeah, but most people like that are younger, I guess. They want to feel like a rebel and they go out there and it's like Madonna. She thinks she's young. She walks out there and plants one on the rake while he's sitting there and he's like squirming. Did you see how she kissed him? And he's like squirming, wanting to get out of it.
Well, I could say allegedly I think I know why Drake would want to get out of that kiss with Madonna, but I don't know for sure.
Well, he said it's because of lipstick. She was wearing a heavy lipstick. I think it was Polident. That's so he probably got this weird sort of taste in his mouth, and he's like, what is that cream? He's like, it's for my teeth, baby. You know, and it might have just made him a little sick, a little nauseous.
Well, at least it was the prep, you know, the denture cream and not Preparation H.
Well, I mean, if she made him lick somewhere else, maybe it would have, but, you know, we don't want to get into that, Jerry. I don't think the crowd would have liked that, but I don't know. I've seen her on a couple interviews lately, Garrett, and she's trying to look like she's 19 years old, and it's not flattering.
Well, I thought she was like 18, or did she have a birthday recently, so she's trying to look older?
she's approaching 60 years old, isn't she?
Oh, you just bite your tongue.
She's approaching 60. I know, she's forever 18. I loved Madonna as a kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember me and my relative, this was like 1984, I believe the year was, and she was in a Playboy magazine. And and I even have that issue now. And the photos were just these weird old photos, and she had hair under her arms. I don't know if you remember. And they were just the weirdest shots, yet it was one of the largest selling Playboys ever because it was Madonna right at the height of her popularity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those, yeah.
I will tell you that I bought Madonna's sex book, and I probably should have bought more at the time I think they would have let you buy up to like 3 or 4 copies, you know, and the book was like $50 or something ridiculous, you know, 20 years ago. So it was a lot of money.
I remember that.
I still have the book.
Yeah.
I still have the book, and she's naked in there, and it's like, oh, okay, I've seen her tits, big deal.
Yeah.
But at least they were better pictures.
Yeah, I think everybody has seen her tits.
Yeah, including Justin Bieber. So what was the deal going on with him getting thrown out of Drake's party?
Drake, again, what is the deal with poor Drake is getting in the middle of all these confrontations? I guess he was invited to the party, the Biebs, and when he went in, security says, you're not allowed to go in. The party is completely full. And he goes, hey, I'm the Biebs. You let me in. I can't be out there with the rest of the public. They'll attack me. They'll give me a mop bucket or whatever, and, you know, I can't be out there with them. And apparently the security put the Biebs right in a chokehold and walked him out while he was in a chokehold. And now Bieber says he's going to sue the security and all that. You know, with the roast, that was a week or two ago, and his image, he wants to redo his image and everything. This isn't the way to begin this new image for Bieber.
I would agree with you.
Even if he's in the right, you can't be an idiot and say, well, but he thinks he's invincible. We forget he's a kid. He's only 21. So.
Well, you know, I think the trouble with Justin Bieber is that, you know, I don't know if we talked about this last time or it was a different guest, and I apologize for not remembering verbatim every last word. You know, I didn't read the transcript after our last show, John, but I think one of the problems that Justin has, well, you know, it's on my list of things to do. It's on my list.
Okay, I understand. It's
right below producing a hit new web series, so I have to. I'm working towards that first, and then I'm going to go back and read the transcript. So, but I think the challenge with Justin is the fact that he has had so much money, and even if he is trying to rehabilitate his image and do all of these things so he can become this young adult, heartthrob to the same generation that he appealed to 5 years ago, as they grow older, so he can continue to sell to those people, he's still going to run into these things where, he's going to have a little bit of ego, and unfortunately he's just still going to have to go through that and get through it. But, I think that if it were, I would love to know what their management is telling them, because
I don't think
Madonna going to Coachella or Justin Bieber going to Coachella sells one more record for them. I think the people who were going to buy their record, or like Madonna's new album, Rebel Heart, anybody who's going to buy that album has probably already bought the album. So it's nice that you go on Jimmy Kimmel. It's nice that you go and do all these, great promotional tours. But it should be all done, really pre-release, for artists like that, because people buy their stuff just because it's them, not because it's good or there's a hit song on it. They buy it because they're fans. Then you have the independent artist who release an album, and I'll use my guest that I had this last Friday night, Roxana. She's from Canada. She's got an album out called Exotica. She's had 3 or 4 singles off the album, and she's been on my show a handful of times. Delightful young lady. But as an independent artist, her job in selling that album is, from the date it's released, goes for the next 2 years. So she's got a full-time job promoting that. And that backs up, the 2 or 3 years it took to put the album together for her. But I think that's the same for any independent artist. So you have the people that are like the Justin Biebers and Madonnas who, don't have measurable, sales really after the first month of release. Anything else they do is kind of silly, unless they're going out on tour. Then I get it.
Now, his whole defense was he can't be out there with the public because they would attack him. Now, I don't know if you agree with this. That type of audience out there probably doesn't really like his music and probably aren't big fans and looking for him there. Would you agree?
Next year, here's what we're going to do. You and I are going to put on our bandanas. We're going to rip up some T-shirts from Motley Crue or Tom Jones or Frankie Valli, and then we're going to get our go-go shorts on, and we're going to Coachella, and we will investigate this firsthand, and we'll report back to everybody what the real deal is.
Should we tell everyone that when we go, are we going to be Wham or something? You want to be Wham?
I do have my Choose Life T-shirt.
I think we should do it for fun. Let's go in short shorts.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something else that you don't know, John. Yeah. I have two, not one, but I have two never worn George Michael Faith T-shirts from the Faith tour with him and the guitar. I think
I have one of those too.
If you've got yours, I've got mine, and we've got a backup. And we get our little go-go shorts on. We could go out there and do a rousing lip sync to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and we'll find Pepsi and Shirley.
Pepsi and Shirley. Oh, wow. Yeah, we should do that. We'll go to Coachella. We'll pretend we're Wham, and we'll probably get pummeled, but that's okay. That'll be half the fun.
And we'll have it on like a GoPro, so we can actually videotape the whole thing and then post it to YouTube, and it'll go viral.
I think that would be great. I think the hits would be just fantastic. Now, if Bieber, let's say he released a new album now, would he be the type of artist that would sing out there at Coachella? I don't think so.
Well, if it depends upon what he's going to do. If he's going to go out there and try to sing a traditional song, meaning not some, pardon my French, rap crap, I don't think he'd stand a chance. But I think if he goes out there and sings some, rapish type of song, like he's been trying to do the last you know, few attempts that he's had out there, which have been very, very successful, you know, I think that's
right.
probably what people would go for. You know, it's kind of like if New Kids on the Block went out there and sang, you know, step by step, they'd get rocks thrown at them. But if they did the NYO,
right.
NYOTB or BYOB or whatever, you know, the New Kids on the Block, NOTKB,
yeah.
you know, and a little bit harder edged, I think that, you know, that would sell. So it's, I don't know, I think it's just depending upon, you know, what performance he wants to give. And, you know, that would, I
yeah.
think, you know, he would not do something purposefully to be, to sabotage himself. So if he's going to do something, he's going to do something
yeah.
smart.
But I don't think he would sing at something like that because he knows that the whole audience there, the crowd, wouldn't be there to see him. And it's kind of hip, really, to hate on the guy. So I would think if he tried to sing somewhere where he didn't have all of the believers around, I think he would get booed like crazy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, very possibly.
I don't think he has the balls to actually want to be at a venue like that because, like I said, it's hip really to hate the guy. And
well, it is today, you know. So, you know, if we give him another 6 months and he's in the studio and makes an album and it comes out and it has, you know, two or three
yeah.
nice little hit songs off of it, you know, that may just be the big turning point that, you know, I can't believe, you know, we thought Justin was a dick. How terrible of us. And, oh, Justin rules again. He, you know, and then they have, you know, old guys like us out there in our go-go shirts
yeah.
and our faith T-shirts saying, Justin's the best.
yeah, well... We'll see. We'll reevaluate this in about a year or six,
mm-hmm.
7 months.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We'll see what he's like. I think the roast really did help him. I do. I watched it. It was great, as we talked about. And I think
he did
great. I
completely agree with you. You're spot on that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he handled it well. And what he but it's like right after the roast, something like this happens, it's another PR hit, and now he's got to try to resolve that and move on and try something else, you know, that'll make just the normal person like him, you know, the normal everyday song lovers like you and I. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be asking you anything, but I'd like to. What's happening with your music? What's happening?
Well,
you don't mind me asking.
No, I'll talk until, you know, we're out of airtime, so you'll have to cut me off here, John. But the long and short really hasn't changed a whole lot. We had the music video shoot 2 weeks ago, and
right.
it's now in post-production for both videos, Gay Wedding and Blonde Jesus. So they are being edited as we speak. And, of course, you know, when you're an independent artist and you're working with people who are doing either lots of favors or working on the cheap, your project, even though it's a priority, is not the top priority. So among other things that are happening in these very talented people's lives that are helping me, you know, then my work gets done along the way. So everything will be done by the end of April. I'm very excited about that. I've been kind of in a quandary because one of the things that we were supposed to do at the video shoot was to take the album cover for Blonde Jesus, because that's the name of the album, and wanted
right.
to make sure I took advantage of this beard that I've been growing for 6 months that I just couldn't wait to shave off. And we ran out of time, forgot to take the picture, and I'm like, holy cow, what are we going to do? So I've been either trying to take pictures myself, I bought a remote control for my camera, I've gone, when I was back home for my dad's 80th birthday party and Easter last
wow.
weekend, I tried to have my cousin do a photo shoot with me, and bless his heart, we used the green screen, and let's just say I've seen his work. His work is very, very good, and he's very talented.
Okay.
And that was a day that he did not shine brightly, and he admits it.
Oh.
We had some issues,
right.
so the pictures that we were hoping for just didn't turn out. But, you know, I'm a big believer, not a believer, but a believer that everything in this whole process for me is happening for a reason. And so I came back a little discouraged. I went to the record company and I said, you know, here's the material that I've got. And they said, you know, I think we can do a little bit better. We're going to send Nolan out, who is one of my marketing advertising contacts at the label. We're going to send him out. We're going to take some extra pictures and to see what we can do because we really need a higher quality, blah, 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 blah. So we went to
right.
Huntington Beach Pier and did that yesterday, as a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon. and we took about 200 pictures. And of course, you know, I don't know your photography experience in the past. I just know that as a photographer, if I take 200 pictures, I'm going to hope to get 10 or 20 that are really, really good. And then,
exactly.
You know, you got a bunch that hope never make the light of day. So we took about the 200 pictures, and then we sat down and went through them and came up with what we call the A list and the B list. And the A list, there's probably about 10 good pictures that are, in my opinion, really great on all levels. You know, color, you know, I didn't look like I'm picking my nose, you know, things you want to stay away from. And then we got another 20 or 30 on the B list, which were really good, but not quite the A. There's just such a clear definition between the A and the B that it was just easy to, you know, say, oh, that's an A, that's a B. Then we've got a lot of C, D's, and E's. I posted a picture yesterday on Facebook, and I just kind of said, you know, the single is coming May 5th, so stay tuned for that. And everybody's flipping out over that, which is very nice. And there's, oh, my God, that's the best picture ever. And I said, that's not even close to the best picture. Just wait till you see the album cover. So, you
right.
know, I'll be kind of doing some teases along the line like that. But the next 3 days, tomorrow's Wednesday, so it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm in the recording studio all day. I've got two songs to lay down final vocals on. So earlier today I've been practicing. It's my rockabilly honky-tonk song, and that doesn't – a lot of people kind of raise their eyebrows or look at me odd when I say that. And it's like, you know, I've got a tribal chant. I've got some – I mean, I've got hard rock on here. I've got some pop. I've got some dance. I've got a ballad. And I wanted to do a honky-tonk song. And people thought, you know, that was kind of silly. But I was like, you know, haven't you ever heard those country songs that kind of have the – you know, those like George Strait Overnight Mail or, you know, a Garth Brooks song –
right.
You can pick a whole host of them, how they have kind of like that double entendre or there's a little funny story that goes along with it. Well, that's what
sure.
I wanted to do. I thought it'd be kind of fun to have this little rockabilly song and tell a little love story in there at the same time. So I've got that.
Right.
And then I've got another ballad that I've rewritten for about the 50th time, but I've finally taken out enough words and I've got my breathing spaced out and, you know, I've actually got it on the page where it says, take a breath. So we're going to redo those two songs, and I've got about another five songs to get mixed, and we've mixed along the way, so there's not a lot of that left, but I've got all the rest of this week set aside for it, and if we have to, all of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday the following week. But by hook or by crook, it's going to be done, you know, by the end of next week at the latest. The record company is already getting ready to do a big push. I've got a list of radio stations that I will be marketing to. I'll be sending out my EPK, electronic press kit, with my one sheet, which is my bio, with a press release. I'll have the album art, and I'll have the, you know, the CD and that type of stuff to send out. And then it's just a matter of finding some, you know, God, you know, willing people that are willing to take a chance and play a song that is an iconic hit across the years for the last 32 years, White Wedding, but I've rewritten it for the LGBT community. And they play Gay Wedding as a summer anthem. And people went, I've had people that, you know, have heard my first album. And, John, you know, let's face it, I was not the greatest singer on the first album. I'm not a trained singer. And even on this album, I'm not the best singer in the world. But I've taken a year of vocal lessons, so hopefully I've improved a little bit along the way. And so the people that I'm now starting to share this music with, and it's, you know, they're industry people, so it's like, okay, what do you think? Not tell me how to fix it, but do you like it, yes or no? You know, so we're not at a point where I'm asking for your input on, oh, I'd like a different drum beat, or, you know, it'd be better if you do this or that. It's, you know, what do you, it's like if you turned it on the radio today and you heard this for the first time, what do you think? And I have people that will have tears in their eyes going, oh, my God, this is great. You know, and these are people that don't need to kiss my ass. So I'm not looking for anybody to, you know, suck up to me, because I don't need that. You know, it's, everybody probably has a little bit of that with people in their lives who are in the entertainment business. I'm sure you know about, but I don't need any of that. I don't need the validation that way. I need you to say, it's a great song, or if you hate it, you say, that song sucks. Tell me that, because you know what? I won't release that.
Yeah.
I'll release something else. But 100% of the people that hear it go, holy cow, why hasn't somebody done this before? This is great.
Right. And so, your whole dream here, right, or one of your hopes is that you actually sing it with Billy Idol on some show or something like that, right? Isn't that what you would really hope for?
The ultimate goal for me, I mean, this is my end game, is number one, that this is released on May 5th. Gay Wedding's released across the country. It will be available on iTunes, wherever music is downloadable. And at some point, You know, it'll pick up on radio and it'll go crazy. I think what will happen, at least in my head and how I'm visioning this to play out, is that it will become a phenomenon both here in the States and worldwide, just
right.
as, you know, gay marriage is available in more states, and hopefully in June the Supreme Court
right.
overturns that for the rest of the country. And
right.
what ends up happening is, you know, even though I've already gotten the permission from its publisher, they said, yes, you can release this, so I'm not infringing on anybody's rights. We don't have a Farrell or a Robin Thicke court case looming with a gay family type of scenario. That won't happen. I've already got the approval. But they'll take a look at this and go, like, wouldn't this be a great rub, not only for Garrett, but for Billy, and have them both sing together at the Grammys, or both sing together at the MTV
right.
Music Awards, or both sing together, you know, and do like a mashup of something. So I would love that to be the case. So.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yes.
Well, that would be awesome. And one more thing. All I want is an autographed CD sent over to me.
Oh, yeah.
Will you be able to do that for me?
Well, I won't send it over to you. I will give it to you when we, you know, visit and celebrate. So, you know, and then you'll have, you know, of course, the VIP backstage passes, so we can finally get a picture that will replace the one of you and George Michael that's on the show page every time.
I would like that. And no, but I'm serious. If you have a party or a release party or something like that, I would love it if you invite me. I will try my best to make it. I mean, I would love
cool.
to be there. So.
Well, I'm trying to figure out some type of a release party at this point. It's going to be sometime in May because, you know, the single's coming out May 5th, which is great, but the album probably is not going to come out till closer to the end of May, just because we're trying to do a pre-release, you know, like you do on Amazon, you know,
right.
a pre-order type of a deal. So we're probably going to have this coming out end of May, but the May 5th is the key date for the gay wedding. But if we can get a CD release party put together, you are absolutely on the list, and it would be my pleasure to have you and your family show up, so it'll be totally cool.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It'd be
yeah.
nice to, yeah, it'd be nice to meet you in person.
In
nice
person.
To finally meet you.
In Isn't person. That funny? We, you know, we make these great friendships either over the phone like this or over Blog Talk Radio on Rated G Radio or over Facebook. And I feel like I know you so well, but I know nothing about
yeah.
you. And
right.
I in my head, I go, oh, my good friend John is going to be on the show tonight. And I'm like, and I have to kind of sit back and laugh at that, because it's like, you know, we've talked, you know, I don't know, a dozen times either on the show or off the show. And, you
right.
know, I feel like I'm connected to you. So I'm grateful every time you're here, John.
Oh, I appreciate that. And maybe Mary Lou can actually say hi to us, like she did a couple weeks or like a month or whenever it was ago. And Mary Lou's just been wonderful to me online. And
she's
everything.
Awesome.
She retweets everything. And, you know,
oh,
she's really
Mary
great.
Lou is great. I love it. She's going to
yeah.
become more involved here on the show on Rated G Radio. She's
cool.
also involved with our friends on West Star Radio and Chat and Spin Radio in the UK. Just since we're
yeah.
doing this, it's drive time in the UK right now, so thanks to everybody in the entire region for tuning us on while you're making your drive home. So we hope that you enjoy the show tonight. Thank you very much for listening across the pond.
And that's so
yeah,
cool.
Mary Lou's awesome. Yeah.
And
she's moving
and
this week, I think, too.
Oh, is she moving?
Yeah, she's got a great new place in Brisbane, Australia that she's headed to. She sent me pictures
and,
the other day, and I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, and here's something really exciting for when I'm on again. One of the hosts of my show, one of the hosts of this new show I'm on, this web show, she's a model from Manchester, I believe, from Manchester.
Nice.
Absolutely. Beautiful, so sweet, funny, personable, friendly. So,
do we want
to
get her on next time?
I was going to say maybe I can ask her if she wants to be
yeah.
on a show, or maybe I can have her be on while I'm on with you, and we.
I think yeah, she needs
show.
To come on while.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to have her on promoting the show with you as my guest co-host, and yes, absolutely.
I will try to set that up as long as it's okay with where I'm at now. If I say,
yeah.
hey, is it okay if we promote on the podcast? And really,
yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean, it
well, who doesn't want
their...
promotion?
That's right. And
yeah,
she's a lot
and, you
more
know,
smooth than I am. And so.
Oh, see, everybody has their own charm, you know. So I have guests that just think,
you're right.
you know, oh, I was terrible. I'm just like, are you kidding? You're one of the most fascinating guests I've ever had, you know. And but everybody has their own reason why, you know, I think that they're great. But she wouldn't, you know, if she wanted to be on the full hour, that would be great. But if she could spend 5 or 10 minutes just chatting about her show and, you know, what she does on it, that would be really, really
yeah.
fun. And then we could, you know, shoot the you-know-what about everything else.
Exactly. I will try to set that up. I think she would totally want to do that.
So what else is, you know, we've had a lot of news happening this week. Is there anything else that just really strikes your fancy?
There is, and again, I want to apologize with the viewers out there. If I sound a little nasally, I'm a little sick, so hopefully out there in the UK, they're going, what the hell's wrong with him? It's my voice. And then if they're going, what's wrong with my radio, if I start to stutter a little bit, oh, that's what's wrong with this, with satellite radio, it's me. So
it's
everyone,
like an 8-track tape.
It's like an 8-track tape. Just hang in there with me. It's like an old... It's like an old record album that has a scratch in it. Sometimes I'll get a hiccup, but, you know, it's all good. I don't know, did you see this? Tori Spelling was having lunch or dinner out here in Los Angeles, and it was at a Japanese restaurant, and apparently she fell on a hibachi grill. She fell right on a grill.
Well, I did hear about this, John, and I thought it was interesting because I thought, you know, there's not enough meat on her bones to actually make anything tasty off of a Tori Spelling kebab. But you never know. Yeah, so the event actually happened over the weekend with her family. A Tori Spelling kebab, you know. You know, I don't know. You know, they were the restaurant was in El Segundo. It's not El Segundo. It's up where the Jacksons live. It's up in Encino, and it was at a hibachi grill. And while she was getting up, she, you know, fell backwards, and that's when her upper arm on her right arm fell and hit the grill. And she was saying, "I will be okay, and I, you know, my career must go on." And I keep thinking, "What career do you have?"
Right. But, Well, apparently it was a big burn, and they rushed her to the hospital, and they began surgery on her nose, and she's like, "No, it's my arm, you idiot." They're like, "Oh, we cut your nose." They're like, "Oh, no." But while they were there on her nose, they tried to repair it a little bit, they fixed her boobs a little bit, so really it was a win-win for her to fall on the grill. She got a little pub and a little work done.
There you go, there you go. Well, you know, the show must go on. You know, I really wonder, you know, because her and her husband had allegedly had some problems this last year with him allegedly cheating while he was filming the Canadian version of Chopped for the Food Network. And I can't help but think, you know, and maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, I don't really know. All I know is that Tori Spelling knows that you need good drama to sell TV.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but it certainly made, you know, whatever Tori knows best or whatever show that she's got on her reality show for a season two, it gave it at least something for people to supposedly want to tune in and watch. So I'm a little, you know, sad and disappointed for the Spelling household that she is now reduced to a, you know, quote-unquote reality star. When, you know, she,
it's sad,
you know, when she has had a career in acting, and whether you liked her or not as Donna in Beverly Hills 90210, you know, she was on that from show one to the last one that was filmed in the can, and did well. But, you know, both her and her husband are now, you know, definitely D-list personalities that, I think sometimes you have to grab attention in certain ways. And then I'm certain, absolutely 100% certain that's not what happened here at the hibachi, you know, and, you know, falling and, you know, getting burned. But, you know, from a career standpoint, you know, they just don't have, you know, she doesn't have anything, you know, and she's grasping at this reality TV thing. And I think it's a mistake.
And it's sad because her mother won't let her have any of the money from her dad either, which she was probably banking on.
You know, I'm sure that Tori got some money. You know, there's always what happens in the press, and there's what really happens. I'm sure that Tori and her brother both got money that legitimately would be enough for you and I to live comfortably 10 lifetimes on, even if we went hog wild. And I'm quite sure also that that money's been blown on crap, as, you know, things tend to do. Because, you know, if you are... you know, Tori Spelling, and you've been in Beverly Hills 90210 for 10 years, and you've starred in other stuff, you've made a dollar or two. Now you've got your hunky little husband who's also an actor slash I want to be a, you know, chef dad and blah, 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 blah. He's made a dollar or two. You know, they live in a nice house, but it's not like in a, you know, it's not Fort Knox. You know, so it's not, you know, so you take a look at where they live and it's, you know, how would you even have a mortgage payment if you've made as much money as you've had along the way and didn't squander every dime along the way? So, you know, I don't know. I really wonder about, you know, either the choices they've made. And I haven't been in their shoes, so I don't know. But you have to wonder, where did all that money go? And then if you got any money from Aaron Spelling's estate, where did all that money go? Because, you know, if she's saying, oh, you know, we're really just struggling and, you know, we're having a hard time. Why?
Yeah. I have to tell you something that's really funny. This was like 96 or 97. I went for I had an interview for 90210 as the writer's assistant.
Wow.
And, my dad's friend's daughter worked for the Spellings in the building. And she got me an interview as a writer's assistant. And I remember as I was sitting and waiting to have the interview, because, you know, I've liked a lot of bad shows in my day, and unfortunately 90210 is one of them. I've watched all of them, you know. My sister made me watch all those shows, that Melrose Place. And
oh, my God, love Melrose.
General Hospital. I loved it, too. You know, and everyone thinks I'm weird. I love that crap. But anyway,
see, you have good taste, John.
I do. So I was sitting in the waiting room, and while I was in the waiting room, in one of the rooms right near me were basically all the writers of the show having a powwow, having a brainstorm saying, what should we do with this and that? And I wanted to jump in there so bad because I watched the show and I knew the characters.
Oh, man.
And if I was older and I was more secure with myself, I would have hopped right in there and said, hey, I'm interviewing for the writer's assistant. Here's what I think we should do, or something, or just say, hey, I've been watching the show since the beginning. Maybe you guys could do this. I'd love to hear your opinions. And as someone who watches the show, I'll let you know if I would like it or not. I should have done that. But as a kid, you're so, you know, shy and intimidated about a lot of stuff. But if it was me now, I would have hopped right in there and just said, hey, I watched the show a lot. You know, why don't I hear what you got? And that probably would have made a great impression. But unfortunately, I did an interview for the job.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, John, that I think that you were right on the money. My guest last night was Harry Colley, and Harry has to be, and I don't know what year he was born, but I'm going to guess he's at least in his 70s, could be in his 80s right now. He's had a brilliant career in Hollywood, but his first, you know, big break in Hollywood came from, you know, talking up to somebody who worked on the show Maude, and he says, you know, do you think you'd be interested in doing one of my shows? You know, here's a script idea. And they said, nope. And then called him back, you know, a couple weeks later and said, you know what, we're going to do that show after all. You know, it's only because he stuck his neck out there and said something. But that led to him doing two seasons of Mary Hartman. And it led to, you know, so many other things that it was all because of that one conversation. And then he worked for Norman Lear for several years. So you're right on. You know,
really
you got to
cool.
say it.
Yeah. But, you know, me as a kid, I was like, you know, 26 or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
with my daughter, I was just afraid to reach my neck out there and just say, hi, it's me, you know, and I was just so terrified of a lot of things back then. And I guess that's life, right? I mean, you learn as we get older, and you look back at certain events in your life and certain times and wish you can change it, and if it happened now, what you would do differently. But I guess that's life, and that's what we learn when we get older, and we try to pass that on, you know, to generations, or either our children or our friends' children or something. You try to pass on that wisdom because you've learned from it, and that's all we can do. But sometimes you'll look back and regret it. But But it's something we learn from, Garrett.
Oh, yeah. But that's all you can do. But, you know, you take a look at that now, and you still say, boy, I wish I would. So at least the nice thing is, John, is that when you're confronted with that same type of a situation, and it doesn't have to be that same situation, but you know what I mean.
Right.
You can
right.
say, you know what, I'm going to say something. And, you know,
right.
the question or, you know, the statement that always rings true to me is the answer is always no unless you ask. So, you know,
right.
you have a lot of talent, and you have a lot of skill, you're a hysterical guy. If you don't say,
well, thank you.
Hey, you know, what about this? Or have you guys tried that? They may take it and steal your idea, or they may take it and say, you know what, that guy was great. Why don't we have him
right.
on staff? You know, and
right.
then the rest, as they say, is, you know, history. So, I don't know.
You
anyway,
know what
so.
Else with that? It's so funny. What else with that interview? Once the interview was over, you know, I thought the interview went very well. It turned into a disaster, Garrett. I haven't shared
Why?
This with many, but I'm going to share this with you and
oh,
your
yeah.
viewers, with you and your listeners. So once the interview was done, this was like 97, like I mentioned, and it was in the building. It was a small building, but it was all selling, right? It was his building.
Oh yeah.
And it was a small building in Beverly Hills, I think on Wilshire, if I'm not mistaken. And I went on the interview, and after the interview was over, I saw the receptionist, and I said, I have to use the bathroom.
Oh,
and
no.
She was really rude, and it was down this hallway. It was down this long, long hallway. And so I went in the bathroom, and then I saw there was an exit right there, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to walk back in that long hallway and see her again because she was very rude. I'm just going to leave here. So I go down the stairway, and as I go down, it says, if you basically, like an alarm will sound if you open the door. And so I said, oh, crap, I don't want to open the door and set off the alarm. So I walk back up on the second floor or whatever it was. I don't remember what floor at this time. And I walk back up to the hallway, and I try opening up the door. It's locked.
Oh, no.
And there's no way that someone would hear me because the hallway was so long if I pounded
oh,
on the door.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, Garrett, I'm freaking out. I'm like, there's cameras here. I know they see me, and I know I'm going to be screwed. And I was sitting there, and we're talking like 96, 97. I didn't have a cell phone at this point.
Right. Who did?
And so I bit the bullet, and I walked down, and the door opened. I said, here we go. Hopefully the alarm won't work or something. And then it opens the door, the whole building, Garrett, off. And I just walk across the street into a nearby restaurant or whatever it was, and I'm looking out the window. They evacuated the building. They evacuated. I kid you not. They evacuated the building. And I'm sitting there just waiting for all these employees to go back in the building because I parked the car right there in the building, right underneath the building.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just sitting there waiting. They were out there for 10 minutes, and then finally they all went inside. And I'm just thinking, there's no way I'm going to get the job. And hence I did not. But I set the
Aaron Spelling, this is what happens
up.
When you don't hire John Cooperman.
Exactly. I mean, I was so embarrassed. And at that age, like I said, I was
oh,
just
yeah.
a nervous sort of a kid. And it was very traumatizing. But now I
that is a great. Very, you need to be telling that story everywhere. That is a great
yeah.
story.
If I make it on Jimmy Fallon or Conan or whatever, that's one. That's one I could tell. That's one story.
Okay, I like it. I think that's going to be my new quest in life is to get you on Jimmy Fallon then, so you can tell this story.
Yeah.
And you say
you heard
Tori Spelling. This is why. Yeah.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it was very, yeah, but it was fun, but, yeah, I wish I got the job, but you know what? We live and learn, like I said, and
mm-hmm.
everything happens for a reason.
Well, there's a lot of things happening for a reason in the world of Well, we have a lot to talk about. But I want to say in the world of politics that's happening, starting this weekend, anything catch your eye?
I think Hillary Clinton officially running. I think we all knew she would, but she officially announced it. And she released a little video with everybody going, I'm working so-and-so. Here's what I'm going to do. And then she comes on, I'm going to run for president of the United States. And it was a good little video. It was a good little solid presentation. And really, when she ran against Obama in 2008, I was totally a big fan of Hillary, and I wanted her to win rather than Obama. But now she's running again, and if she were to win office, by the time she's in there, she'd be 70 years old. So that could really be a key why she might not make it. But I love Hillary. Well, I think she has the experience.
I think she's great. Now, here's my question, though. You know, if we don't have Hillary, and I'm just being a realist, because the thing that I really hate on both sides of the platform is that they attack, she, you know, looked at somebody cross-eyed, or, you know, her hair was out of place, or she's a woman, she has hormones, she can't be, you know, if you're going to say those types of things, you know, you just need to go back underground, and we'll just put the cover on, and we'll let you just percolate down there. But if you're going to sit here and, you know, attack people for their policies or their stance on issues or things like that, I get it, because that's debate. You know, that's not hate, because you can talk about all that stuff that's out there. But outside of Hillary, from a Democratic standpoint, and I should make it known, I'm a registered Republican, and I'm embarrassed about my Republican choices that are out there. But outside of Hillary, you have Joe Biden, and Joe Biden's as old, or you know, at least in the same hemisphere. You know, what other choices do you have?
Well, another Bush might be running. Another Bush.
And if we do that, you know,
get Jeb Bush elected, shame on us. Shame on us.
Shame on us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We never thought the son would get elected president.
Well, I think that whole thing is just interesting. You know, I think historically we'll look back in 50, and probably not in our lifetimes, you know, but we'll look back and figure out how it was rigged or whatever, that, you know, how they got him in with hanging chads by 300 votes or something like that. You know, give me a break.
Yeah. You think we'll ever know the truth about that?
Well, will we ever know the truth about, you know, Kennedy? Will we ever know the truth about Lincoln? Will we ever know the truth about, you know? So there's you know, the versions of reality which are approved for the general public to know. Then I think that there's what's really happened, and everybody else is either shot or killed or, you know, sent away if they threaten to, you know, open their mouths. Why that's such an issue, I don't know, but... I don't think there's anything else, you know, because I think everybody on the Democratic field have been waiting for the last 8 years. Well, once Obama's done, we'll get Hillary in. It's, you know, so the only other Democrat that's out there that I would really like to see more of is Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
But everybody from the Republican side, they just sound like a bunch of friggin' idiots. And it's like, can you please not talk hate? Can you please talk about concrete policies or concrete programs or how you're going to do something that, because all this crap just makes me embarrassed for your party, and it makes me never want to vote Republican. But I, you know, historically, I kind of like the Republican concepts. I can't respect or like any of the Republicans that are out there, and all the hate speak that they talk about either this group or that group or whatever. It's like, you people just sound like you're in like the 1890s or something like this. You sound so backwards to everything that's out there. I don't know. It pains me, but
it would have been nice, I think, if Hillary won the last election and the election before, simply because she is older, and Obama was so young, and that's why I wanted her to win the first time, and then Obama could be running now. But unfortunately, it worked out the other way. But she should still be okay. I think she would make a great president. You know,
I think she would too.
And the comedians would love it. The Bill jokes as the first husband. Oh my God!
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they write themselves.
So funny. They write themselves.
You will be employed easily for the next 4 years.
oh, everyone would just bag on him so much, you know. The first husband, it'd be awesome.
Well, I think that it will be interesting to see what happens in the next, you know, several months as far as how this all takes place. So,
I'm hearing
that she's going to be spending like upwards of $1 billion towards this campaign. Can you believe that?
No, no, and that's outrageous. And and plus, they're saying now she's not even. She may not even win.
It's a long way between here and the White House, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that can happen. You know, she could end up being the brightest star, and then she gives one Harry Dean speech where, you know, she laughs hysterically after something, and then, you know, overnight she's dropped.
But she would set the country back even more. If she spends $1 billion, that will go even more into – we'll be even more in the hole as America because of her campaign. There's got to be
You think about the Republicans, the Koch brothers are set to spend, I've read several places, upwards of $900 million themselves, just those two Koch brothers. So,
imagine,
you know, there's major
imagine.
Money to buy the election. And now it's just a matter, you know, so it's really buying airwaves and, you know, letting the stations across the country get fat and happy. You know, I don't know, I was listening to somebody on one of the talk radio stations, and they said, you know, it would be really great if we, as Americans, adopted the same policy as several other countries where they don't do any campaigning until, you know, or like TV ads or that kind of stuff until like the last month. So if the election's in November, you know, then the ads or whatever start in October. So you don't have, you know, 6 months or a year of all this crap going back and forth and, you know, just ridiculous statements that are being flung around.
Right. I
don't know.
It's just, with the money, something has to be done about the spending.
Oh, yeah, crazy.
And all that. It's just not right. It's not right.
You know what else is not right? Getting a divorce from Bobby Flay and only getting $5,000 a month.
Oh. Oh.
Could you even...
might not be...
You couldn't even live on $5,000 a month as a successful Hollywood actress with your own income.
That's kind of a slap in the face.
Huge slap
in
the face. And she only gets $1 million to vacate the marriage home, plus $50,000 to move, and $5,000 a month for 2 years.
What is the deal with that?
What a cheapskate, right? You know, it's not like she has a career and a successful career as a TV actress and, you know, big money coming in on her own right. She needs Bobby's money.
We're learning more and more about Mr. Flay. Not only, I don't even have a good joke here. I thought of one earlier today, and now I don't remember it.
Well, this is his third marriage. You know,
it's
marriage number three for him. So it's not like, you know, she came into this going, well, you know, we had two strikes before, and so this one will definitely work. You know, granted, they've been married 10 years or something like that, but, you know, it wasn't a stranger who Bobby Flay was before. Good, bad, or indifferent. Bobby Flay was a known personality, and if you're going to get involved with a known personality and willingly sign a prenuptial agreement, which you did,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be bitching about the fact that you're getting $5,000 a month, $1 million settlement, and $50,000 to move. And take that money, invest it in a nice little, you know, college fund for your future kid or kids or your nieces and nephews, and shut up.
Right. And why did she marry him in the first place? He can't even cook well.
Do you not like Bobby Flay's food?
I mean, I've read his book. Well, no, I haven't. But, you know, I wanted to read one of his books, and I decided against it.
Fair enough.
I said no can do, you know, to Bobby Flay.
Yeah, well...
But,
That's what she's saying now, too. Well, I guess that, you know, he's been rumored, and again, allegedly, to have, hanging out with a lot of other people. So will be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, he would be very wise to just keep a real low profile during this, let the lawyers hash it out, and write that check and just be done.
When I worked at this horse racing network, which will remain nameless,
mm-hmm.
It's funny, there's one horse racing network. Yeah, he was really big. I guess he's really into horses. And maybe he spent a lot of money on horses and lost a lot of money or something like that. His investments went wrong. Who knows? But really, I don't have a point here, Garrett. I'm rambling.
That's fine. You could ramble like a horse off the winner's circle because, you know, that's what's happening here. No, I think that Bobby, you know, said, you know, of course, you know, when relationships are great, oh, yeah, I'll sign anything. Don't worry about it. Our love will last forever. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, that doesn't, especially if you're a two-time loser already. You're probably going to – the third time is a charm for a limited run, a limited time only. So, you know, if you've signed all of that stuff, you know, Bobby Flay just wants to keep Bobby Flay's money. Bobby is not in any type of financial hardship whatsoever. He's still got gazillions of dollars in the bank. He's just like, nope, she signed the agreement. She knew what she was getting into. And now she wants to bitch and moan about it. Tough luck.
Yeah.
You know,
tough luck.
I kind of agree with him. But, you know, those are things you don't say. You just be quiet.
Absolutely. You just be quiet. So I know we're running low on time here. I would like to promote my next show.
Yes. Please tell us all about it. Where are you going to be?
All right. All right, viewers. May 5th, the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California. That's May 5th. It's a Wednesday night. It's at 8 o'clock. It's a big venue. We talked about this when I was on before.
Yeah, but we got to talk about it again.
Music. Yeah, it's mostly for musical people, musical sort of acts. And like I told you, I saw Michael Nesmith there of the Monkees fame play there.
Yeah.
Once. And I saw Davy Jones play there once, too. I'm a Monkees fan, people, in case you're wondering why there's... Yeah, hey, I love the Monkees. So I'm very excited, actually, to be there. And so I would love to have some of your viewers there and meet them and say hello to them after the show. That's, once again, Wednesday, May 5th, the Canyon Club. And then after that, my own show, which I run and produce and set up the lineup and everything, that'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena, California, out here in California, Pasadena. The Ice House on Friday, May 15th, 8 o'clock.
Cool.
Brian Kiley from the Conan O'Brien show, he's a writer on Conan, drop dead funny. Just one of the funniest men you'll ever meet. And, of course, myself, I'm relatively funny, and we have a bunch of other people. One of the other headliners also for the UK viewers out there is Michelle Mahone. Michelle Mahone is very known. She's very well known out there in the UK. She used to be the celebrity reporter on the Today Show in Australia.
Right on.
And she's a comedian now out here in the U.S. And she's also on some shows out here too. If the UK viewers are wondering, Michelle Mahone, we miss her, we love her. She's on shows out here. She has a Twitter. Make sure to, you know, say hi to her and stuff. But she's great, and she's going to be one of my headliners as well. Very funny, very funny. She's from Eastern Kentucky, and she talks like this. My name is Michelle Mahone, and let me tell you a thing or three. And Michelle Mahone's great, and the UK viewers and the Australia people out there who I'm sure know her and love her, she's great, and I know you guys miss her to death, so... And we'll try to have her on your show one of these days, Garrett. She's
that would be
amazing.
Fun, too. And that's Friday the 15th of May at the Ice House in Pasadena. Guess what? My show for Friday the 15th of May features an Austrian band called French on Friday. And we're going to be playing their new song called Careless Whisper, you know, like from Wham! It got a George Michael endorsement. But the show is going to be broadcast at noon. So guess what I could do on Friday the 15th?
You're coming to the Ice House.
I think I'm going to go to the Ice House and see you perform.
Now,
so I'm just putting that in the book.
Thing. Yeah, here's another thing we need to do, okay, Garrett? You need to get Mr. Michael on your show. Is there any way
I actually talked to his publicity people in London This is probably about like 6 months ago, and I said, you know, I'd love to have him on. He's got his new album, Symphonica, that just came out, and I'd love to interview him for 5 or 10 minutes and blah, blah, blah. And I've never been rejected and felt so appreciated at the same time, but they just said, Mr. Mm-hmm. Michael's so busy doing what? I don't know. Mr. Michael is so busy, mm-hmm. and he regretfully will not be able to do your show. I felt so loved in their rejection. I actually sent them a gift basket and thanked them for their rejection. But
yeah.
I would love
to
get George Michael on the show.
You should send him a tweet. He used to be very heavy on Twitter. He's not anymore, but I would send him a tweet too. But, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't for 10 minutes. You know, I know he doesn't like
it. And it is Rated G Radio. You know, we're worldwide. We have gazillions of listeners. So we'd love to have George Michael on the show. So if anybody's listening tonight is friends with George, you know, outside of John, who's, you know, pictured with him on the show page tonight, you know, we would love to have a little connection and have George Michael on the show. So there you go.
Guess what?
John, we're out of time. We have to hang up. We have to end the show now. I can't believe it. I had other stuff I wanted to talk to you about.
All right. Well, we'll wait till next time.
We're going to have to wait till next time. There we go. Everybody, don't drive distracted. We'll see you live on Wednesday with Carol Ramsey. Call in with your questions for our new psychic friend. It's been a pleasure having John Cooperman on the show. Go see him May 15th at the Ice House in Pasadena. And don't drive distracted, folks. John, good luck with your job tonight. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank
Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.
Bye-bye.